Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so excited to be here this morning. And today we are in a series that's called The Heart of Meridian. And we're exploring what we believe that God is calling Meridian to be in our community. And as a whole, every church kind of has a different identity. And we're exploring kind of what ours is. And we have a mission statement, and we started our series with that mission statement, and it's really simple. It's our mission is to make disciples who are known for love. And here at Meridian, everything that you hear from this stage, or in the lobby, or in the parking lot, or just out and about on the town, has to flow through this statement. This is our primary goal, and our primary prayer, that everyone here at Meridian is known by how they love God, how they love others, and even how they love themselves. And so we had this really cool mission statement, and it was scripturally based, but we still needed a way to make that happen, how to live that out. And so we isolated four ways that we were planning on accomplishing that mission. And that's how we get these four B's, and it's belong, believe, become, and bless. So it kind of goes this way around the circle. Belong, believe, become, and bless. And last week, we heard from Pastor Brandon about the idea of belong. And here at Meridian, making sure that everyone can feel like they belong, not only here, but in the larger kingdom of God, is super important to us. And we have a saying here at Meridian, that Meridian is a space to belong before you believe. Pastor Brandon taught us that even with the disciples back in Jesus' time, they belonged with Jesus before they believed in him as the Christ. And we can too. And so if you're here today and you're not quite sure what you believe yet, first of all, thank you for being here. We're so glad that you've joined us in this space. But we hope that you feel like you belong because you do belong here. And that leads us to today, which is our next statement, and it's believe. Now, in this life, we believe a lot of things. We believe in simple things. Like when I sat down in these chairs today, I believed that it would hold me up. And I believe this because since we've had them for the last 4 years, every time I've sat in one of these chairs, it's held me up. I believed last night when I went to bed that the sun would rise this morning because every day for my whole life, that's what happens in the morning, the sun will rise. But we also have belief in things like gravity. It's hard to understand exactly what gravity is, but we know that if we drop something, it will fall to the ground. We also have subjective beliefs. Personally, I believe that mustard and mayonnaise are horrible and disgusting and should never be consumed by anyone. That's my belief, okay? All right, mixed feelings here, I get that, that's fine. And some of us even have crazy beliefs, like conspiracy theories. Or if you're like me, you have a belief every year that you'll finally actually draft a good fantasy football team. And it never happens. It's crazy. And all of those beliefs pile together and make who we are. They make our personalities and our brains and who we are as people and how we interact with the world. And in the church, you've probably heard the idea that belief is important. You've heard this word believe or belief a lot. You've probably heard that believing in God is important, and it is. You've probably heard it's important to believe good and right and true beliefs, and it is. And we're going to be talking about beliefs today and what we believe and what even belief means to us. It's this huge, big concept. But before we do that, I want to share a piece of wisdom that I found at the top of one of my notes that I took in college. And it was something it was in a systematic theology class, and it's something my professor wrote on the whiteboard, and he said, hey, write this down in your notes, you'll want it for later. And I did. So I'm going to share it with you, because I'm really glad I wrote it down. But he wrote these things. He said, one, beliefs matter. Two, sometimes beliefs matter too much. And three, not all beliefs are equally important. Now, this is how we started a year-long two-part theology class, which is studying the beliefs about God. And I think to understand where we're going today in Scripture, I want to give you a basic rundown of some theological terms, which I know sounds super boring, but it's going to be fun. Maybe not. We'll find out. I think it's going to be important, though. And here's the thing. Even seasoned theologians, sometimes when they're talking about their idea of beliefs, they tend to take everything that they believe about God when they're talking about their beliefs or their theology, and they put it all in one big basket. And we learned now that not all beliefs are equally important. So some theologians who are much smarter and centuries older than I am came up with a three-category system, or a tier list, for those of you who are into that thing, right? They came up with a tier list of beliefs so they can kind of separate out the ones that are really important and the ones that maybe aren't so important. And those are dogma, doctrine, and then personal opinion and conviction. So a dogma belief is a belief that is essential to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And denying a belief in this category would mean rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he was. So for example, a belief that would belong in here is we believe that Jesus was fully God and fully human, and he had a physical death and a physical resurrection. Those are things that are essential to what we believe about Jesus Christ and the good news or the gospel. So that goes in a dogma level belief. Then we get to doctrine level beliefs, and these are important without being essential. So these might look like our beliefs about baptism, our beliefs about communion, or even end times. These are beliefs that might separate congregations in a church or like denominationally. So we have a lot of different views about baptism. You have a lot of different views about communion. But even if you have a different way of viewing that, you still fall under the label of Christianity because you all agree on the dogma level important things. So those are doctrine issues. But then we get to personal opinion and convictions. And these are considered interesting, but relatively unimportant to the grand scheme of the church, okay? And there's a lot of different things that can fall in this category. Things like, and just for example, this is how wide-ranging this category is. So you have things like what you believe about alcohol consumption. You have things about what you believe about angels. You have beliefs of what do you think you should wear to church. These are things that are important to us, but are relatively indifferent to the overall gospel of Jesus Christ. So these are our personal opinions and convictions, that personal faith, those things that we believe. Things that, like, everyone in this room, even though we go to the same church and agree on the same basic principles and doctrine, we probably have a lot of different beliefs on these personal opinion and conviction levels. So they are important to you, but they're not important or essential to the group of a church as a whole. So when we speak about beliefs or theology, you can see that depending on what we're talking about, it falls on different levels of importance. So it's essential that we identify what are beliefs that we need to keep at the highest level. What are our dogma level beliefs? What are our essential beliefs? And historically, Christians have been in a lot of trouble for making opinion level beliefs dogma level important. And if things like if you should wear neckties or not. So in the Church of God, that was a big thing. Necktie controversy, if you are a Church of God historian, that was a big deal. Or things like, are pews better for worship or are chairs better for worship, right? These are some of these things that we've made probably a little bit more important than they ought to be. And even, you know, beyond that, sometimes we confuse the order of belong and believe. We say that if you don't have the right beliefs, or if you don't speak the right way, or if you vote differently than I do, you don't belong in my church. Or we take it a step further, very extreme, and say, you don't belong in my religion at all. So if you think like this, if you look like this, if you act like this, if you vote like this, you're not a Christian. And remember, sometimes beliefs matter too much. It's human nature to get stuck on what we believe. The problem is the Bible is a very dense book. It's written in a language that is not our native language, to a culture that is not our native culture. Understanding the Bible, maybe for you, I definitely for me, can feel like an uphill battle at times. And so when we qualify belonging with having the right beliefs and understandings, we automatically lose so many people. And one of my favorite quotes is this guy called Anselm of Canterbury, who was a medieval theologian, and he had this motto, and he described Christianity as faith seeking understanding. And his motto was credo et intelligam, so pardon my Latin, it's not very good. Credo intelligam, I believe in order that I may understand. So even a great theologian who was actively in a church and was paid to study the scriptures, his belief was that so he could understand more. It wasn't the other way around. It wasn't that he understood everything and therefore he had these beliefs. It's like he had a belief in a good God, and he believed that this God would lead him more and more into understanding and belief as he walked with God. And that leads us to our scripture today. And we're going to be reading some very famous scripture directly surrounded by a lot of unfamiliar scripture. And we start our story with a guy named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and Pharisees were religious leaders of the day who often got a really bad reputation because they're a little bit of an antagonist in the story of Jesus at times. They had a lot of questions. They didn't love Jesus. And they ran into a lot of trouble for making opinion level or doctrine beliefs dogma level important. They had a lot of rules, and they felt very uncomfortable when people broke these rules. And that was kind of what Jesus was saying a lot. We see that in the Sermon on the Mount. He was like, you have a lot of rules, but let's talk about dogma level importance. Let's talk about what's really essential to what we believe. And Nicodemus was really intrigued by all of this. He had a lot of questions for Jesus. He started to question, and he had thoughts about these things, but he didn't want his friends and his coworkers to know that he was having thoughts and questions. And so he snuck over to Jesus' house in the middle of the night to ask him theology questions. And if I was Jesus, I'd be like, you gotta go home, man. You cannot be here for this. But Jesus didn't say that because he's much better than me. And he takes Nicodemus in and he starts answering these questions. And so Nicodemus brings all of these statements that he's heard Jesus say in his teachings. And he says, well, you said this. What does that mean? You said this. How does that work? And we have this back and forth multiple times. And Jesus is engaging with Nicodemus through his doubt of what Jesus is saying. So we're picking up in the middle of this story, but know that before this, Nicodemus and Jesus are going back and forth about a lot of things that he has questions about. Now, we pick up our story in John 3, 9 through 12. And it says this, Nicodemus responded and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, you are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you people do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Jesus looks at Nicodemus, a man known for his beliefs, paid handsomely to tell people about heavenly things and having the right beliefs. And he looks at him and he says, hey man, you don't get it. And even if I told you the truth to your face, your beliefs on these things matter too much that you can't see the truth right in front of you. Your beliefs matter too much to see the true thing right in front of you, the true belief, the true truth that's right in front of you. And again, Nicodemus' beliefs mattered too much. They were clouding him from growing deeper in understanding of God. But Jesus is about to tell us what we need to believe, the dogma, the essentials. And it's probably the most famous verse from the Bible. And if you know it, you can say it with me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We all know this verse, right? It's the first verse you learn in Sunday school. It's written on the backs of billboards. It's written on shopping bags. It's written on football players' eye black, right? It's on everything. We see this verse everywhere. It is arguably the most famous verse from the Bible. Non-Christians know this verse. They've seen this verse everywhere. And yet, what if I told you that we often don't have the full picture of this verse? Because remember, Jesus is speaking this to Nicodemus, a man who does not believe John 3:16. And this is coming to, and he's coming to Jesus with a lot of doubts and is known for telling people exactly how to believe. But because God is so, so good, Jesus kept talking to Nicodemus. And we need to read the rest of what he says to Nicodemus in order for this to make sense to us. So let's read John 3:16 through 19, or actually through 21. So For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. And people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds will be revealed as been performed in God. Okay, this is wild to me. And we're going to slow this down and look at this a little bit closer, right? Verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. Okay, I don't know who needs to hear this, but if God did not send Jesus, God did not send himself down to judge the world, he did not send you down to judge the world either. If Jesus is not sent to judge the world, we also were not sent to judge the world. This is heartbreaking news to me. Okay, but it's true. It's right here in the Bible, right? Jesus did not get sent down to judge the world, and that's not our job either, right? Here's the thing. We as Christians on every side of every issue spend a lot of time judging others, not even on the basis of their actions, but on the basis of their beliefs. But there are really bad things in this world. There are really bad and harmful beliefs. So why didn't Jesus come to judge us? He answers that because he's really cool. So verse 18, it says, the one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Jesus didn't come into the world to judge because we have already been judged. Okay. There we go. Because we have already been judged, right? He didn't come into the world to be judged. We were already judged. We messed up, right? We had already messed up. We'd already hurt others. We'd already hurt ourselves. We'd already hurt the world. We've already hurt God. But according to verse 19, this judgment that we're facing is the whole reason that Jesus came in the first place. He came and covered our sins and took our judgment for us. He took our judgment for us. Sometimes beliefs matter too much, but sometimes they are really, really important. Verse 21, but the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. When we believe the good news of Jesus, that we have been reconciled to God, reconciled to each other, reconciled to the kingdom, have had our sins forgiven, have abundance of life. When we practice these dogma beliefs, we will be led to light. Belief in the right thing is so important because, as we will learn next week, our beliefs will lead us to our actions. And our actions will lead us to become who we are. So we choose our beliefs, and then our beliefs make us. In the Church of God in Anderson, we have identified a few non-negotiables. So things that we have put at a dogma level. And for example, we think these are things like that Jesus is Lord and he is who he says he is. And the things that are written in the Bible about Jesus are true. The Holy Spirit is active and has a very clear role in our lives to teach us and guide us and instruct us and challenge and convict us. The kingdom should strive for unity and diversity. We're all different, and we are being called to grow the kingdom and reconcile all people back to God. The Holy Scriptures have authority in our lives, and we are called to live out the great commandments, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if you want to learn more about what Meridian believes here or what the Church of God in Anderson believes, you can visit our websites. But here's the deal. We believe that if we highlight these dogma beliefs, these important beliefs, that we might have a better understanding of God. And in so, we will be led to the light. We will be led to goodness and good actions and good deeds. our actions will be pleasing to God. We just have to be careful about what we elevate to this stature, right? When we elevate something that is not essential to the good news of Jesus, we've lost the plot. When I say pews or chairs, right, is the same level as the good news of Jesus in as far as how I can worship God, right? It doesn't make pews and chairs as important as Jesus. It makes Jesus as important as pews and chairs. We've got to be really careful about what we believe on a dogma level. And here's the thing. Jesus came to earth to open a path to get to him. We are not called to make it harder to get there. We are called to point people to the essentials that got us here in the first place. I was not called to Meridian because of the pews versus chairs debate, right? I wasn't called to Jesus because of that. I was called because Jesus is Lord. I was called because the Holy Spirit is living and active. I was called because Scripture has authority in my life. I was called because I am made to love God and love others. And I was called to bring unity to a place, to an earth that is disunified, and reconcile people back to God. And those are the essentials that I was drawn to. That is what belief in God and belief in Jesus is, who he says he was. That is the essential. Anything else just makes it harder for people to get to Jesus, right? So what does focusing on the essentials look like? What does the world and the kingdom look like when we are true to putting our belief in Jesus first and reject the notion of judgment? What does that look like? Well, Paul gives us a glimpse into what that looks like in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. It says this, "So it is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' And since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your, or our, benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." When we believe the essentials, we will speak the essentials. And when we speak the essential beliefs of Jesus, grace will reach more and more people. And when grace reaches more and more people, thanksgiving will overflow to God. We are thankful, not because we've been judged into believing the exact right thing. We're thankful because simply by believing the essentials and trying to do our best to live those out in our life, we have been saved. God has poured his grace out on us, and we have been reconciled to him and to each other. The Spirit is leading us further into light and out of darkness. We have access to abundant life simply by telling Jesus we believe he is who he says he is, and we want to be more like him in word and action. So as the band comes back up, I want to end with this. Let's look at how to grow our beliefs and understanding, and remember that Christian theology is simply faith seeking understanding. Christian theology is simply faith seeking understanding. Seek the essentials, be led to light, and share that light with others, because beliefs matter. Let us be a church that is passionate about believing and sharing these simple truths, and believing and sharing the good news. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for not asking us to have all of the right answers. Thank you for making it easy to come to you. We have to believe you are who you said you are, and we have to want to be more like you in word and deed, God. Help us continue as we learn and grow to put our beliefs that are not important to the side. Help us keep the essentials at a dogma level importance, God. Help us not judge others for their beliefs, but encourage everyone to simply live out the essentials of your truth, and as far as it depends on us, be at peace with everyone around us. God, you are good, and you are growing us and leading us to further understanding and further into light. And I pray that over Meridian, that we would be a church that wants to believe in you and believe that you love us and believe that you love others. God, and help us be better people when we leave here. We love you so much, and we'll give you all of the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.